is Jesus I really want to see. Oh, yes, it's Jesus I really want to see. Oh, the more I see of this old world, the less it means to me. And it's Jesus I really want to see. Oh, yes, it's Jesus I really want to see.
It's Jesus I really want to see. The more I see of this old world, the less it means to me. And it's Jesus
sing about it now, church. Let's stand tonight. Well, now it's Jesus I really want to see.
You and me.
Oh, yes, it's Jesus I really want to see.
The more I see of this old world,
your desire, church. Sing it one more time. Well, now it's Jesus I really want to see. Oh, yes, it's Jesus I really want to see. The Lord. It's Jesus we really want to see, isn't it? Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord tonight? Aren't you glad to be the house of the Lord? Amen. Let's look at our prayer request tonight, if you will. Brother Benton, since this in, my niece's daughter, 9-year-old Jada Lane, has a stomach bacterial virus, very sick. They're asking that we would remember that child in prayer, so let's remember that need tonight. Brother Jackie, Sister Sherry Tipton says that we want to thank everyone for the food, the phone calls, cards, most of all for your prayers during Sherry's recent sinus surgery. She is healing well. Please continue to pray for her complete recovery, that she will regain her strength back. So let's remember that need tonight. The Dyers are asking us to pray for Andrew Beaver. He's 25 years old, has very painful shingles. He and his wife, and the parents, brothers and sisters, they stream our services from Spencer, Indiana. So we want to remember those needs tonight as we pray that the Lord would be mindful of that situation. Brother Barry English wants to say amen to God's healing power. Once again, he has been touched by the hand of the Lord, and he wants to thank you for praying for him. So we praise the Lord for that tonight. We want to pray for Sister Sue Sims. She has had a bad cough for over a week now, so let's remember her tonight. Brother Jim Hughes sends us in for Bob Wakely, having open heart surgery tomorrow. Also pray for his salvation, so let's remember that need. Want to pray for William Palmer Smith with flu-like symptoms. Brother Byron sends that in, so let's pray for that need tonight. Brother Baker is requesting prayer for Sister Baker, who's having neck and back complications. Also, please pray for Michael Garland, who is near death, so let's remember those needs tonight. Sister Carol Reagan says to please pray for my sister Sharon. She had cancer surgery today and will be having chemo treatments for several weeks. So let's remember that prayer request tonight. Please pray for Brother Alan Bean, unable to be in the service, has a lot of pain in his neck and back. So let's remember that. Sister Gail Clark, not feeling well. Let's remember her tonight as we pray. I want to pray for Kathy Malden. She has the flu, been bedridden for about 8 days, so they're asking that we would remember that need tonight. And Brother Barclay sends this in. This is a testimony. I think this person that he had requested prayer, Brother Alkabar, I hope I got that name right, we prayed for about 5 months ago. They was giving him 2 months to live. He's going through his last chemo treatment this week, so we want to thank the Lord for touching him. Sister Karen Anthony of Louisiana, part of our streaming congregation, has 4 prayer requests to bring before the church. Her father, Warren Braindard, I hope I got that name right, is in very poor health, not expected to live over another month. Her main concern is that he is unsaved at 85 years old. Her former pastor's wife, Linda Cullen, has bone cancer in her leg, is asking for prayer. The Anthony's daughter, Mary Williams, is pregnant, having complications. Namely, she is not gaining weight in her case. This is very important. Also, a family friend, Archie Murray, has brain cancer and is now in hospice. He is at peace, and prayer is being asked for him and his family. Thank you so much for your prayer. So let's remember those needs tonight. Certainly want to pray for our local assembly, needs in our assembly here, that the Lord would just be mindful of all of our situations. We know that we're serving a great big God that's very mindful of all of our situations. We read these requests, you hear them, and we think, well, one is more severe than the other, and one sounds worse than the other. But to our Lord, there's no hard cases. He's got it all in control tonight. Do you believe that with all your heart? All of you have an unspoken prayer request tonight, something you'd like for this assembly to pray about. You believe God's able tonight? Let's sing that chorus once again, Brother Harry. It's Jesus that we really want to see. Certainly want to say it's certainly good to have our pastor, Brother Donnie, Sister Carol back home with us, isn't it? We're glad they made a safe journey back from Arizona, and we're certainly glad to have them back in the service with us tonight. Good to see each and every one of you here in this service. Before we sing this, before we pray, turn around, shake somebody's hand, tell them you're glad to see them in the house of the Lord tonight. Play a little bit of it, brethren, if you will. Sing that chorus one more time, if you will.
Well, now it's Jesus I really want to see. Oh, yes, it's Jesus I really want to see.
Sing it one more time, if you will.
It's Jesus I really want to see. Yes, it's Jesus I really want to see.
Come tonight, if you would, lead us to the Lord. Amen. Let's invite his presence. into this service and ask Him to have His way in all these needs tonight for the West. God bless you. Good to see you.
Let's pray. Father, the words of this song ring so true. Lord, we want to see more of You. The more we see of this world, Lord, the darker it gets, and the more of the prophecies are coming to light, and what Brother Branham said is unfolding right before our eyes, and the things that You told him to show us, Lord, we're seeing it all around us, and every day we're getting closer and closer to Your coming, Lord. And Lord, there are many people who brought prayer requests before You tonight, and Lord, these people are dependent on You to give them that down payment that You promised of the resurrection, Lord, that divine healing. And Lord, there's broken hearts and people with many, many things going wrong, and you know, many sicknesses, many family members affected. All of these things, Lord, we just simply agree on these tonight in Your name and ask You, Lord, to move in each and every one of these situations, Lord. These people are trusting You. They're trusting You because Your word's been manifested here, Lord, and they see it, and the testimonies are coming forth, Lord, even during the reading of the prayer request. There's testimonies that come forth that You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, you're so much to us. You mean so much to us. We love You so much. We thank You for bringing our pastor back safely to us, Lord. We ask You to bless us tonight by coming and speaking through him, Lord, and just speak to our hearts. We come expecting tonight, Lord. We didn't come here tonight just for fellowship, but we came here to hear from You, our King and our Lord and our love. And Lord, we just thank You for this opportunity. We're so, so fortunate, Lord, to have the opportunity to come before Your throne. We love You so much, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother West. God bless you. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. If you're visiting tonight with us in the service, we certainly want to welcome you here. Glad to have each and all, every one of you. Those that are streaming tonight, may God richly bless those folks as well. We're going to have church here tonight. Is that right? Amen. Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Let's sing a little song tonight. All is well. Do you believe that with all your heart?
Amen.
Let's sing her tonight if you will. All is well. Yes, all is well. We have heard the message, shalom. All is well.
There is a place of perfect rest behind the inner
veil. Oh, so rest, little bride. Rest for again, all is well. All is well. We have heard the message shalom. All is well.
There is a place of perfect rest behind. Favor with God, he gave her.
still fighting the greatest battle ever fought. But we're winning by the grace of Almighty God. We must have the faith of Abraham, knowing God's word never fails. If we'll trust in Him, you're gonna find all His way.
Sing that verse for them, buddy. They're wanting to hear you sing the second verse. I tried it, but I couldn't do it. Sing it. Go ahead.
Now things have not worked out like God's people thought. We're still here in 2012.
Oh, yes.
We're still fighting.
We're still fighting.
The greatest battle.
We're still fighting.
Fought.
Hallelujah!
We must have the faith of Abraham,
oh,
knowing my God's word will never fail.
It never fails.
And if you trust in Him,
you'll
find that
all is well. Yes, all is well. All is well. Message alone, all is well.
There is a place of perfect rest.
Hallelujah.
Behind the inner veil.
So rest, little bride, rest for all is well. Hallelujah. Let's sing Oasis tonight just before we have our special song. Let's sing that little chorus, God is Your Oasis. Brother and Sister Lunsford gets ready to come and sing for us tonight. I know this. I have had dry seasons in my life just like you have. I've had great spiritual seasons in my life just like you have. But you know, He's still God. It don't matter if you're up or down. He's still God if you're on fire, if you're cold. He's still God. The change comes in us. He's still God. Is that right? Give Him a big hand clap of praise if you love Him tonight. Yes, God is your oasis in dry places. He makes flowers grow.
Hallelujah.
Where His grace is
Once a morning we'll stand in God's wonderful city, where the light of heaven's glory shall never grow dim. When I shake hands with the Savior who gave life eternal, I'd like to talk it over with Him. I'd like to kneel down, and talk it all over with Him. I'd like to say, Lord, you love me with the
with the millions of redeemed ones, I'm sure I'll be happy, for we're told the cup of gladness He'll fill to the brim. But I know that I have brought Him some deep tears of sorrow. I'd like to talk it over with Him. And I'd like
I meet him in the city above, but I'd like to talk it over and thank him for his wonderful love.
They'll be singing hallelujah forever and ever when the bridegroom meets the bride there in Jerusalem. As he looks on those who came up through great tribulation, I'd like to talk it over with him. Oh, I'd like to kneel down and talk it all over with him. I'd like to say, Lord, you love me when the path was so dim, and I cannot repay him when I meet him in the city above. But I'd like to talk it over and thank him for his wonderful love.
All can't wait till that time, can we? We can gather together around his presence. Just stand together if you would. Second Corinthians chapter 12. Second Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Sure, nice to see each one again tonight. Glad to be back home, back in the house of God with the saints of God. Had some good meetings out in Arizona. The Lord helped us, and I understand y'all had some wonderful meetings here. Presence of God coming down, and it's a great hour to be a Christian, isn't it?
Amen.
Just to be living for the Lord and be serving Him. And 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell. Whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one called up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man. Whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. What a wonderful shepherd that is watching over our souls. This visitation could have ruined this man's ministry. But to make sure that it didn't, God gave him a thorn. I wonder how many things in our lives, the revelation, the understanding, the grace, the mercy that God's given to us. And if God did not accompany with that thorns, troubles, difficulties, and things that sometimes you just don't understand, those things that he gives you would absolutely ruin you. Not your soul, but this. Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for your great loving care, your wisdom, your understanding. It seems almost opposites to speak of thorns and revelations. And to some, they would think, how do they even go together? But as long as a mortal holding a soul, and that soul is elevated into the presence of God, and that mortal still remains a mortal, thorns must accompany those visitations. I pray that you would open our understanding, as you did Paul so many, many years ago. Lord, I pray you take your word tonight and speak to us. We thank you for the privilege that we have once again to come together, to be able to worship you and sing the songs of Zion and hear your word preached. Lord, I have this prayer cloth in my hand, Father. And you see, Lord, who this is for and the need. I'm asking you that your presence, dear God, would just move for Anthony. Father, touch his body. Help us tonight as we look into your word. In Jesus' name. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. I'd like to speak to you again tonight on I Knew a Man. Paul, knowing this man would cause him years of difficulty, knowing some people's an honor, knowing others is a burden. I've known people in my life that was a joy to have them as friends. There's other people I've known in my life that have been nothing but a burden. And their friendship is a burden. But yet, people like that still need friends.
Amen.
There's people that I've known as well as you have known. Their friendship has brought you embarrassment. And me as well. There are people that I've known as friends that have been a help, a blessing. And you look at them and you've known them for years and years, and really, they've never caused any major issues with you being a friend. And then there are some that almost from the time that you know them, it's like their friendship cost you. And the entire length of that friendship, it will cost you. Now this was the relationship that Paul had with himself. Believe it or not, it's the same one you have with yourself. You may think, I've cost you a lot of trouble. I'm going to be just quite frank and honest with you. I ain't cost you near as much trouble if you've cost your stinking self. Because some of y'all ain't known me but 20 years and you've known your hide for 60. And ever since you've known yourself, you ain't been nothing but trouble to yourself. So you might as well just say amen. To know a man in this way, to live between the two worlds that this man embraced, It must have been overwhelming. He walked where hardly any mortals ever got to trot. Abraham never walked there. Isaac, Jacob, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Zephaniah. Hold on to your seat. Even Brother Branham. John on the Isle of Patmos never got to walk where this man walked. Brother Branham says Paul's ministry was greater than all the rest of the apostles put together. The man saw more, heard more from God than all the rest of them put together. But that come at a great price. So to know such a man would be no doubt a burden, a trouble, a difficulty, and life, and years of heartaches and anguish. Now, we think in our minds, why would God bring an individual to such a place? Take them, apparently, from their body and rapture a part of them away. Move them out of this body into a sphere with God. Tell them things. Let them hear things in conversation that would so astound them and set such a mark on their life that never get over it. And never be allowed to repeat one word of it. Not something he asked for. Not something he prayed for. Not something he fasted for. And then God gave that to him because of his grace. And then God would have to make him pay for the rest of his life because of what he saw and heard. I'm kind of glad I don't hear such things myself. Now, what a price to know such a man. How could such an acquaintance be so painful? How could Paul the man pay such a price because Paul the raptured was able to see such things? How could Paul, the unconverted, be forced to pay such a cost because Paul, the converted, walked in such places? Now, Paul, in bringing this, no doubt many times he desired to. And if you look at this span of time when this is written, in the phase of the apostles' ministry, it's prior to when great events are happening in the churches. Great trouble is going on at Corinth. Great difficulty in different spots. No doubt this visitation had something to do with where he was in time, but it would also set an impact upon his soul that he would actually never get over. God timed it exactly right. So Paul, truly, we would all agree that Paul was converted when this took place. So a part of Paul left, apparently raptured, caught up, and then that part came back. And it made such an impact upon him that the natural man knew he had gone and left, and the natural man somehow remembered the words that he heard and the things that he saw. If not, then the natural man could have never even pinned it down. But yet it had such an imprint that when the merging of the soul come back into the body, that there was a consciousness that was able to penetrate into the first realm, and the first realm knew that the second man had been gone somewhere. Now, had he not done that, then the first man would have never been able to have this thorn in the flesh. There'd be absolutely no need. If the first man would have been unconscious of this, then he would have never been required to even have this thorn the rest of his life. But somehow this visitation going beyond that realm into the heavenly places made such an imprint upon the natural man that the natural man could remember those words that he heard and recall those things that he saw.
And because of that, there was a tendency in the natural man to become exalted. Why? The natural man didn't go anywhere. But look at the nature of flesh. That it wants to take pride and take honor and take glory for nothing that it done. It was not the flesh that walked down streets of gold. It was not the flesh that heard those great words. But yet it was the tendency of the flesh to want to be exalted. Now, how many believes Paul had the Holy Ghost? New birth? Then I want to ask you something. How come his new birth didn't take care of that? You believe he's converted? Truly born of the Spirit of God, had the token life, whatever terms you want to use, and yet the Holy Ghost did not subject that. Did his call, did his gift subject that? Was his great faith, his ministry, signs, wonders, you mean that wouldn't subject it? Was he predestinated? You mean his election didn't subject that? Well, if his didn't, more than likely yours won't either. Now, preachers that preach, there ain't nothing left in the flesh after you get the Holy Ghost. I'm afraid they're going to have a real hard time with this example here. Now, watch this in verse 2 again. He said, I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. Whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. He says, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one, notice how he words this, such an one caught. Such an one caught up. Not such an one was, but such an one caught up. The word harpazo, which is take by force, catch away, to seize, carry off by force. Now this is the Greek word that we use the word rapture for. So Paul experienced a rapture. So here is a man who is caught away. He's seized, he's snatched, he's took out of a world that he's very familiar with, and yet part of him was caught away, seized and caught out of here. So he experienced a rapture. So here was one that Paul, the unconverted, said, I, Paul, knew a man that was raptured. I knew a man. Now, it was not him as far as the unconverted part, but he separates and divides himself from that raptured part and said, I knew a man that had a rapture. Glory to God. I knew a man that had a rapture. Now, he says, whether I was in the body or out of the body, he said, to be honest with you, I still really don't know whether it was or not, but he separates himself and looking at himself and divides the converted from the unconverted. And he says, I knew such an one. Oh my. He said, how that he was caught up, verse 4, into paradise. Now here's the same word again. So he was snatched, seized, overcome by a greater force, a greater power. So I knew such an one that was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words. Now the words that he heard, it's not that they were unspeakable there. They were speakable. Of course, there had to be words that were speakable and words that were understandable. But yet, it was not that it was not speakable there. But it was words that could not be brought from that realm down here and ever repeated again. Now, whether Paul could not frame the words that he heard, or whether he was not allowed to articulate the same words that he heard, or he was forbidden and he heard the words and he understood what it was under that realm, but when he come back down from that realm, he was never allowed to repeat what he heard. I guess we'll have to wait and ask him when we get there. But now you imagine, he said, it was not lawful for a man to utter. What law? What law was it? I mean, there wasn't no law in Rome, I don't reckon, that said it's against the law for a man to go to heaven, have a vision, and come back down. So what law was it? What law was it? It was a divine law. It was a heavenly law that existed in the realm of the heavenlies that God had showed to this man, and he forbid him, no doubt, instruction by the supernatural, or when he come to himself back on his bed or wherever he was, and there was instruction to come that said, do not repeat what you have heard. Never let those words come out of your mouth. Boy, a lot of us that had a hard time of that, wouldn't we? We'd want to tell everybody, but this man kept it for 14 years before he ever mentioned one thing about it. I wonder sometimes if we don't keep more supernatural away from us by our big fat mouth. Because one little thing happens to us and we go around bragging about it. Well, I'm going to preach whether y'all preach with me or not. Now watch, he said, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words which is not lawful for a man to utter. Now watch how he severs himself and he says, of such an one will I glory. Yet of myself, I will not glory, but in my infirmity. So here, the raptured one, Paul says, I will glory, and that which has been done to the raptured one, but the one which is left unconverted, I cannot glory. Let me tell you something, friend, that you said, boy, I don't know what you're trying to say. Well, if you ever catch it, it will change your life. If you and I could speak the same words that this man had in this understanding, and we would not glory in this right here, and we would not take pride in this old flesh, but rather we would glory in what God has done for our lives and how God has changed us. We take so much pride and so much glory and our makeup and our background and our family ties. My brother, you have nothing to brag about. I don't care who you are tonight when it comes to your flesh. We should glory and honor in that which the supernatural God has done in our lives. Let our glory be there, and we'll see a different move upon this hill than we've ever seen before. People either come to church or don't come to church because of the way people treat their flesh. Well, so-and-so didn't speak to me. So-and-so done this. I'm mad. I ain't going back. Is that your soul talking? Is that your body? If you got the Holy Ghost, your soul ain't never got mad at me telling you the truth. But your body has. And if you listen to your body, it'll talk you out of coming the very place you need to come to. But if you listen to your soul, it'll tell you he's telling you the truth. But yet we glory, we honor, we take so much in this stinking flesh of ours. Oh, hallelujah. You ever hear anybody say, oh, that hurt my soul, that hurt my gene, that hurt my germ? What is it? It's that hurt my feelings. That they shouldn't have said that hurt my feelings. My feelings. Your feelings? I thought this was all about your soul. Your gene, the real you. Now, Paul, had you be able to have an understanding of dividing himself, or God was going to hurt his feelings. Now, it doesn't seem right in one way that God would make the body pay for a journey that the soul took. God will make the body pay for things the soul heard. God will make the body pay for a realm that the soul lived in. I hope you hear me now, because I'm talking about you too. Do you understand the great things that God has given us by his word? If it was not for the grace of God accompanying trials and things in our life, we'd be so exalted and so puffed up, we'd think we know more than everybody and we're this and that and the other. Now watch how Paul severs himself from Paul. I'm waiting on Donnie to be able to do that. Donnie to separate himself from Donnie. I'm waiting on y'all too. Because we ain't going to leave this world until we're able to separate ourselves from ourselves. Now he said, of such an one will I glory. Of such, he makes it sound like it's another person. It was. It truly was another person. A raptured, converted gene of God. but yet hid in this body.
Right.
So the body speaks and acknowledges this other person. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. So Paul the raptured one was chained to Paul the unconverted one. So here Paul was chained to a dead man. Glory. Oh my. Paul said, I could brag. I could give credit, honor, you know, all these things to that man. Because it won't bother him. He is not even accessible to human pride. You understand, friend, when your soul is converted, human pride can never touch that soul again. Satanic pride that every one of us were born with. We were born with the kind of pride Satan had in Ezekiel 28. Now, look in verse 6. Now keep this in mind, two Pauls now. For though I would desire the glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure. Now, which one is this? Which one is this now? The I. You mean a converted soul, a gene of God born by the breath of God, can get exalted above measure? No. It's impossible. It's birth back to the original characteristics of the spoken word, which makes it totally impossible. You understand where this kind of pride comes from? It comes from Satan. This for every one of us, friend. And this is why it's left in your flesh. This kind of pride is left in our flesh. Brother Donnie, you saying we shouldn't comb our hair? Nope. I'm saying you should. I combed mine for church. Sprayed it down. Wanted it to look as nice as possible. But if the Holy Ghost gets to jerking me around here real good tonight, I won't care if one side goes that way and the other side goes that way. It ain't going to hinder me. But now if I say, now Jesus, back off now. Don't shout me now, Lord. You'll mess up my hair. That's bad pride. Come on now, church. So Paul, the unconverted, says, lest I should be exalted. Look at this word. Exalt oneself. To lift or raise up over something. To lift oneself up. Be haughty. To carry oneself haughtily. To behave insolent toward one. Of course, this is not in God's nature at all. God cannot do this. You understand? God can never act this way. So where did this come from? Right back to the very one who caused sin in the beginning. So here's his position in heaven. And he exalts himself above that position and says, I want to be like the Most High. I want to be bigger than what I am. I want to be greater than what I am. There's the introduction of sin. On what? The element of pride. Do you understand why message folks get mad when they're preached on? Their pride is hurt. Well, praise the Lord. You mean to tell me the church age messenger of this first church age had to watch the sin of pride? Wasn't women? What about women and money and What about that sort of thing? Popularity. Wasn't even that. It was pride. Pride. Feeling he knew more than the rest of them did. Friends, don't you understand that this message is eat up with that? There's people in our churches all around the world that are eat up with this original sin. You can't tell them nothing. You cannot correct them. You cannot tell them anything. They refuse to accept it. And if you do, they just get mad and leave. They'll take their pride and go somewhere else. Well, glory to God. Now, notice this. This accompanies this visitation. Now, it was not his gifts. It was not the other revelations as far as the preaching of the word and all of that. But this vision, this translation, this rapture, so did something to his soul that it spilled over. And the human part saw how great it was. And the human part said, nobody but you has ever done this. You're the only preacher in the message that's preaching this. You're the only church. Y'all are above everybody else. You're greater. You're more elite. Nobody in the message has wrote the songs you wrote. Nobody plays the guitar the way you do. Nobody does. Why, you can preach circles around any preacher there is. That could be true. Yeah, there's situations where that could be said about certain brothers. And more than likely, those circles they'll preach around other brothers will qualify them for a crown of thorns. Paul got one. Some of us might need a whole bushel basket. I knew a man. I know a bunch more of them. Men, women, boys, girls. Now watch. Lest I should be exalted above measure. Spiritually proud. Spiritually elevated. That God has used me to such a degree. Peter never saw what I know. John never saw what I saw. Andrew, Bartholomew, none of them saw what I've seen. And that revelation from the soul had such an impact upon the flesh that the flesh could kind of glory in it and say, man, I must be something. Boy, I must really be something. You are a dirt bag. Some of you 240-pound dirt bag. Some of you 110. You're a dirt bag nonetheless. Some of you Louisiana dirt. Some of you Kentucky dirt. Some of you Tennessee dirt. You're still dirt. Now, friend, we preach against sin. Preachers preach against sin. Sin, 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 sin. Oh, cigarette smoking. Get rid of this. Get rid of that. And those preachers in the message pulpits eat up with this sin of pride. Because they think they know more than everybody. Your opinion matters nothing to them. I've dealt with so many of them, I get sick at my stomach. I get sick at my stomach dealing with some of the preachers in this message because they think they know so much and you're an idiot. Believe me, I know I get treated that way a lot of times by preachers that have stood right behind this pulpit. And they think they know so much. And you realize, oh boy, you folks are getting quiet on me. That we do not want to glory in our flesh. We do not want to glory in our gifts and our ability. We want to glory in what God's done for us. But we don't want the flesh to pull that over and let the flesh get puffed up about it. Pride is one of the most deceitful sins that there is. Because a lot of folks who have it don't think they do. Because they think pride is a person who never shouts, never hares. That's what we identify as pride. That's all we know. A person who comes to church and their car is always clean. The inside's always clean. The outside's always clean. My Lord, sometimes that's just being plumb healthy. Just because I wear clean clothes to church. My, just because you wear, you know, clean this and that and the other, have a clean car. That don't necessarily mean you got pride. But that's the way we identify it. This had nothing to do with Paul's clothes. It had nothing to do with Paul's horse, Paul's chariot, Paul's donkey, Paul's mule, Paul's camel. It had to do with Paul's revelation. This kind of pride aims at revelated people. Now, message people are a special class because they're tuned to a prophetic class. And this kind of pride will aim at us more than any move that's ever been on this earth. And it will absolutely annihilate thousands. That's not bright. But God will not let it destroy one member of the elect. If he has to beat the daylights out of me and you, he'll do it. Now watch, Brother Ben says when their eyes were open, notice in Paul the great revelation that he had of Jesus Christ, who he was. And it was so great to know, well, God put it in the Bible. That's how great it was. That's the reason he gave him a thorn in the flesh to keep him down. What good does it do to give a man a revelation and then beat him about the head and shoulders and nearly stomp the man to dust to keep him humble? You say, if I'd have been God, I'd have picked another one. They're all the same. I'd have got Peter. Lord have mercy. It'd been worse. Well, I'd have got me. Right. Do not listen to me tonight, me. Don't you understand? All human beings are born with this. It is in our flesh. There are people, friends, that will not comb their hair. I mean, they look like a rat's nest. But they have a pride in that hippie, ratty look. Now you look at them and say, dear God, have mercy. I can't stand them. But to them, they are so proud of the way they look. Years ago, it was a disgrace to be a homosexual. Not no more. Gay pride has brought them out of the closet. And they are proud to be what they are. You look down on them, so my poor old thing, I feel sorry for them. They don't feel sorry for themselves. They're getting their rights. Don't you see? This is why Satan no longer needed to find another woman after the antediluvian destruction to repopulate the earth again and find another woman to inject his seed again. Don't you see why? The sons of God saw the daughters of men, and now the seed line had corrupted, and now on the other side of the flood you see murders, you see all that, but after the flood, you see in God's seed line murders. Moses. Before the flood, there was no such a thing in the seed line of God. But what? The seed line become mixed. And it was no longer not just a separate seed line, but the nature of all humanity was corrupted. That's why we've got to have a new birth. Do you understand what a mercy it is from God to be delivered from this kind of pride? You don't. There's no way you see it. If you did, you'd be sitting there and your hands up and tears trickling down your cheeks. You'd be so grateful to God that God lets things come your way to knock you flat on your face.
Amen.
It's amazing, isn't it? So you mean because of my revelations, I'll pay? You will. Because of walking in heavenly places and seeing what I see, I'll pay. You will. And the more you see, the more. But that's the weird thing about us. We know that, and yet we ask for more. Glory. Watch this. Brother Bam said, that was the reason he gave him the thorn in the flesh, to keep him down. So he wouldn't get big and exalted. You mean to tell me the new births don't do that? Guess not. You mean the gift in a man's life don't do it? You mean the Holy Ghost is not powerful enough? It's not that it lacks power. It's that this still belongs to the devil. Whether you say amen or not, it don't make no difference. I got the quotes in front of me. Right. So what does God do instead of sending more Holy Ghost, more power, more faith, more miracles, more signs to control that? He gouges it with a thorn. Whew. God kept him down and small so he could use him in different parts of the country. Do for him what he wanted to do because he had the revelation of Jesus Christ, of who he was. Notice again he said, if you hold selfishness and pride and malice and all these things in your heart, he can't be Lord. Though you've accepted me in, he can't be Lord.
Amen.
Again he says, you see what pride and selfishness does? Friends, listen how serious this is. It shuts you out of the kingdom of God. Not smoking, not women cutting their hair, not mini skirts. Do we need to hear this preached? We do. Oh my. Notice this, he says, talking about the doors inside the heart. One right next to this other little door is called pride. Oh, that's a terrible one. Everybody wants a little pride. You can't let Jesus in and take over pride, then Jesus won't stay. He'll get right out. If you think you're better than the Joneses, and if you drive a better car, eat a better meal, wear better clothes than the Joneses, then you're stuck up. Then Jesus will leave that heart at the same door he come in at. Lord have mercy, children. Do you understand how destructive this is? Now these things are things that can be hid so deep that hardly nobody even knows it's there. Because many folks with this, they won't be yellow stain on their fingers. Don't mean no amber left out here before church and didn't get it all off. But it's buried down deep in the heart. They may not even vocalize it to many people. But just when they get around certain people, I can't shake his hand. He ain't worth what I'm worth. You know, it's all inside their heart. Hardly nobody even knows it. Would it be awful to let Jesus in? And then because of pride, Jesus turns right around and walks out that same door and says, I can't live in that heart. Lord Jesus. Brother Branham preached about this man quite often. King Uzziah used him as a subject matter for the message influence. He said the king got to a place he thought within himself. He got lifted up. Pride got in his heart. And that's what's happened to us. If you'll pardon this expression, that's what's happened to our churches throughout the country. They're fine people and they're some of the best people in the world goes to church. I think the best in the world goes to church. But the thing of it is, the organization systems gets lifted up. That's what happened to the Methodists. That's what happened to the Baptists. That's what happened to the Nazarene, to the Pilgrim Holiness, to the Pentecostal. May I go ahead and move it up and say that's what's around us? Lifted up. Self-will. Self-centered. Pride. That you can't tell nothing to them. God can't find a way to get into their hearts. It's because they become so know-it-all that nobody can tell them anything. Now, we would never really associate that attitude with pride, but it is. That is a proud heart of someone who cannot be corrected. A proud heart of someone that no matter what you go to tell them, they know more than you do. No matter who you are. But they themselves would certainly, they may not dress to the T, every hair may not, I ain't got no pride. Because they're looking at it out here. They're looking on the outside. So I ain't got no pride. But yet it's not so much on the outside as much as it is inside the heart. Now watch, he said, watch how this can come after you make the transition into the message. Let's just take our sisters, for instance. Like our sisters, he says, they're pretty. And he, speaking of the devil, can get you to a place that you let your hair grow out. You didn't realize it looked so nice on you. And the first thing you know, you get kind of feeling a little stuck up. Now you was out there and it was all bobbed off. You thought you was the coolest cat there was in Johnson City. And then when it goes to going out, what happened? Lord, children, listen to me. Because this body did not get the Holy Ghost, pride moves from your bobbed hair to your long hair. Then the same human part that took pride in the way you dressed out there, the same human part can take pride in your looks with long hair, long dresses. Why? Because even though you may have the Holy Ghost, this didn't get it. So you kind of get to feeling a little stuck up, a little above something else. You know, so you can walk into Kroger, Walmart, wherever you are, see women there dressed ungodly and decent, same way you used to dress. But somehow now you've got your long hair, you've got your long jean skirts, and you've got all that look about you, and you stand there, you slut, you Jezebel, you whore, you this, that, the other. Now, are we doing that because the Word says so, or is it pride? Now, the Word told us to do it. The message tells us to do it. And because the soul complies, then the body reaches over into that and pulls out of that and impregnates this flesh. And the flesh gets all blowed up. I'll condemn you at the day of judgment. Really? You actually think God's going to use you to judge anybody with that attitude? You see, if Christ is really in our hearts, when we look at those people, we feel sorry for them. Oh, we sure, we know what the Word says about them. It's all wrong, totally wrong. But how does God look at them? Does God look at them with that attitude? You bunch of sorry outfit. I'll wipe every one of you off the earth. I'll kill the whole bunch of you. Your Bible says He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's why God hates that attitude when we get it. Well, y'all getting quieter and quieter. Oh, my. It looks so nice on you. And the first thing you know, you get kind of a little feeling stuck up. A little above something else. And some of you men, you know what I mean? He can take that same thing and proposition with you. That's right. You've got to overcome that. Isn't that amazing? You had to overcome scissoritis. And now that you got long hair, you got to overcome pride-itis. Boy, them itis boys is bad, ain't you? Man, they're bad. You wrestled and you battled, giving away your skirts and giving away your slacks and giving away all that. Then you finally said, God, you know what? I've received a revelation of praise God. And then once you do that, then this wants to start taking pride because you look decent and you look better. And you think, oh, my. And now you got to battle that. Will it never stop, Brother Donnie? No, not till the day of the rapture. You're out there, you battle one thing, you come in here, you battle another, but at least you're battling. Oh my! You got to overcome that. You remember, you're living for God. And you have one objective. Listen to this.
Yes, sir.
And that's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Outside of that, there's nothing else that counts.
Amen.
Then secondly, for your family. Then thirdly, for yourself. Now I realize that many folks, it's you, you, and you. You hold all the top three spots. Well, glory, these evangelists come in and buttered around on you all and licked around on you, didn't they? Man, they made y'all feel so good. Notice that he says, first for God. Next. You're kidding me. You mean, as a servant of God, I have to consider my wife? Oh, come on. My children? My grandchildren? My brother? My sister-in-law? I've got to live for them before I live for me? Friends, I'm convinced there's many folks sitting around this message that do not believe this message. Because when you read things like this, they'll sit there and look at you and their mind is 10,000 miles away and they think I'm an absolute idiot. But if this word is your heart, you'll say, oh God, help me, it's the truth. Oh God, help me, it's the truth. Notice first for God, next for your family, and next for you. You're number three. That's the end of the road. Put yourself. I won't ask how many do that. This is the reason why he did. He did. Now watch. Brother Branham, should a Christian woman wear simple jewelry? As necklaces or pearls? Well, sister, I know this means a lot to you. And it means a lot for me, for you to place your confidence. I tell you the truth. Now remember, the Bible said when you're adorned, you don't adorn with costly jewels and pearls and all kinds of wearing of jewelry. But let that adorning be of peace and a quiet, meek spirit, which I just quoted, which is a great price before the Lord. Now I don't mean by that, sister, that if you had a pin, now this is me, not the Lord. If you had a pin that you wanted to wear, a necklace your husband gave you, or maybe something like that you wore. Now to me, I don't think that's bad. Now that's just me. Remember, I make myself clear. That's my opinion. Thank God for such an honest man. But I think it's the approach to it. It's the way you do it. It's the motive behind it. And when you see it's getting a hold of you, then leave the thing alone. But I think if you wore your wedding ring, I know you Nazarene people used to be that you wouldn't even baptize a woman with a wedding ring on. See, I don't believe that is necessary. In the Bible, they wore wedding rings, or it's a tablet, they called it, around their head, 9 pieces of coin in it, show they were married. I think that's all right. If women want to dress and make themselves look decent and clean and ladylike, I think there's not a thing that to me. But when you go to getting that thing into making it a little pride, then you're wrong. It's your attitude. Now let me show you a paradox. Some women can wear jewelry and have pride. Some women won't wear it and have more than the ones who do. Because their pride is that they're better than those who do. They live a higher standard. They live closer to God. Lord, children, if we escape this evil, it will truly be God's grace. Because I don't care what your makeup is, I don't care what you deal with, he's got something, no matter who you are, to get you. Some people are so proud that they don't have to go to a doctor. And their pride Well, they say, I give all the glory to God, but some of that glory is oozed over into this corruption here. Others are just as proud of their medicine and their herb and their iridology and doxology and all the other ologies that they do. So whether you take medicine or you don't, pride awaits you on both sides. Whether you believe in preachers or whether you don't, pride awaits you on both sides. Whether you shout or whether you don't, whether you speak in tongues or whether you don't. Some people speak in tongues and they can get so much pride because they do. Others are so proud that they don't. Lord, mercy. What's this in God's power to transform? Brother Ben said Abel's message had been received. Cain saw it and know that God had vindicated that message right. But he just couldn't do it. His pride kept him from it. As a minister of the gospel, I have discussed and talked many, many subjects over the years with all kinds of folks. Most of the time I try to hold off on giving them a lot unless I need to for fear of what it will do to them. So I'll give them a quote or two or three. And then if I need to, then I'll open up the big guns. Because over the years as I've dealt with people, I've found out that until you cross really what they are, if you cross their brother, their uncle, their nephew, you might rub them a little bit. But if you get to what they are, that's when the showdown really hits you. Now, when God vindicated Abel's message and without a shadow of a doubt, the pillar of fire come down and consumed his sacrifice. And God told Cain, do as your brother do and you'll be accepted. Now he wasn't even going to offer this offering by revelation so much as he was just knowing it was the right way to do it. Because it had not been revealed to him. But he saw it was the right way. And he refused it on that basis. Not so much of refusing a revelation, a first-handed revelation. But he saw a first-handed revelation vindicated and proved by God. And he would not submit to it. And Brother Bam tells us why. His pride would not allow him to do it. Now, where did he get that pride? Adam, of course, was not his father. Eve was his mother. But she never had that either. The serpent never had it, the beast. So where did this pride come from? Pride like this is not a creation. It's a perversion. Now there's a wonderful thing of being able to receive something from God, give glory to God, give thanks to God, give testimony to God, and let it go that way, but there is such a fine line to cross to where it comes from giving glory to God till it crosses over and then the flesh becomes gratified. Do you understand? That's the line, the day star, the light bringer, Lucifer, God's right-hand man to fellowship. He simply stepped over that little fine line and crossed over into the realm of pride. Oh, my. What's this? His pride kept him from it. That's right, his pride kept him from doing it. He's seen God vindicate the message. Now, you remember Brother Bram said that God went after Cain. He said, Cain, I have nothing against you. He said, God loved him. He wasn't a direct descendant of God. How's he going to get a revelation? So God will actually accept him on mimicking his brother. He's not a direct descendant, so God don't expect him to stand on the same basis. But he said, if you'll come like your brother, I'll just accept you on that basis. God wasn't willing that he would go to hell. God was not willing that he would perish. God loved him. And he said, I'll not do it. Friends, I'll tell you, it scares me When you show folks scripture after scripture, quote after quote after quote, and they'll read them and hold them in their hand, and when you get done, they say, I still believe the same thing. I get so scared. It's one of the scariest parts of my job. Because no doubt I have showed many, many quotes to folks. And those quotes help urge them across the line. Or they'd never come back. You don't know how that feels. That's why I'm so careful. So careful to give it to them. To thank God that you would be an instrument that would give them that word. And they say, no more. Forget it. No, this is not for me. I'm not coming back. And their stinking pride. You know where you got yours at? Same place Cain got his. Glory. Oh, Lord. My, was y'all this quiet on those visiting preachers? Well, my granddaughters told me Brother Tim Burdett looked like Little Red Riding Hood, but that they got a kick out of that. I doubt y'all was as quiet on them as y'all on me tonight. Think of what a thing, friends. And you realize it's not the brother sitting by you or the sister sitting by you who has that. Every one of us. Every one of us who are human beings have that. And it simply changes from when you come to the message. Whoop. And goes a different way. When you was out there in sin, you was proud how many cigarettes you could smoke. You was so proud of how much you could drink. How much whiskey it took to knock you out. Oh, you drink so much old turkey and Jack Daniels and whatever more them old Daniels boys and all the rest of them. Man, it takes so much to knock me out, boy. I tell you, it takes 3 or 4 shots to knock me out. Man, pride. Even you get saved and you come to the message after, now careful, because this has still got it. It'll move over into that realm. Let's read the scripture. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Let's see if we can trace the source of this evil. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, it's summed up in 3 simple phrases. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Look at the word pride. Boasting. Empty, braggart talk. Now yonder, oh, I smoke, I run around with so many women, I done this, but when you come to the message, I'm in the 700s, I'm in Perugia, we're so deep, man, nobody knows what we know, we're... An insolent and empty assurance, which trusts in its own power and resources and shamefully despises and violates divine laws and human rights. So this is the pride of life, which means every one of our politicians have it. Our president, vice president, senators, Congress. Every deacon in this church has it. The pastor has it. All you long-haired women and you long-tongued ones too. Why? It was born in you. 3 simple elements that had us bound by our natural birth. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. And he'd come by the new birth to change our souls. Glory to God. Don't you understand what a victory it is then? That those elements still remain in that flesh. And from the control tower of the soul, it can bring this body subject to the man on the inside. And though pride is still there, the lust of the flesh is still there, and the lust of the eyes is still there, but the man in the control tower of the soul says, turn your head, turn your eyes. You're not doing this. You're not doing that. Friends, you find message churches that are very emotional, have really fast music, like a lot of shouting. If that church ain't careful, they'll be so proud because they're spiritual. Other churches, well, we don't have as much emotion. We have the Word. Word, teaching. Boy, we teach, we understand. And you know what? They go the other way with that pride that way. Lord have mercy, ain't there somebody somewhere that can get in the middle of the road and take the anointing of the Holy Ghost and the preaching of the Word and leave pride out of it? But we can be so proud of what? Of what? God in His mercy let you make a trip to Calvary one day. And opened up your eyes to see your need to be washed in the blood of Jesus and loose from your sins. That same God let you go to the second stage of sanctification. And that same God allowed those of you who have received it to go through the baptism of the Holy Ghost, which is the final and third stage of the consummation of the new birth, and let you receive His very own life inside of you. And open your eyes and your understanding and let you sit in this place and other places and hear things that have been kept secret since the foundation of the world that's been brought to us in this last days by a prophet of God. Then tell me, what can we brag about? Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Notice in Ezekiel 28:17, I'll close here. God speaking to Satan, pride was Satan's sin, and this is the means by which he fell. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. Now notice, sin is not a creation. God never created sin and put sin in this angel. God put righteousness in this angel, but give this angel the ability to choose. For Satan too has a soul. Now teach you that down, Calvary. Satan's soul sinned. So God put only righteousness and purity and truth in this great angel. But notice, thy wisdom, by reason of thy brightness, I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Watch this, in the seal of the Antichrist. Judas was a religious man. He was not an infidel. And all of us know he was the Antichrist. He worked the very closest hand to Christ. His right-hand man. He was closer than Peter, John, or any of the rest of them. Had to be. In order for the type, it fell down from heaven. It had to be. Don't marvel, my friends, that some of the greatest destruction will come right from in our own ranks. Even some that were so close to the prophet himself. Notice his right hand man. Do you know that in heaven the devil was God's right hand man in the beginning? Lucifer, the son of the morning, was given power. And the reason he brought sin into the world, he was able to take something that God had created and pervert it back into an evil thing. God made him the most beautiful, the most stupendous, the most glorious angel above all the rest. But one day, it hit him. Look at me. None of them. Thou art the anointed cherub, and I have set thee so. And you look at that word in the Hebrew. He was the one who stopped the divine approach. Any of the rest of the angels of God came before the throne. They had to first get permission from Lucifer. He knows all about God. Well, a lot about God, I should say. He knows a lot about the approach to God, a lot about worship, a lot about music. But his sin was just that close. So he said, you know what? I am sick and tired of being the associate pastor in heaven. I want my own church. You know what's amazing? When he fell, God never stripped him of one of those abilities. All those angels that he preached to him and over and had that move over on the north side. And whenever he pulled them angels away and they went over there, God created them by rank and hierarchy. And when some of those angels made their choice, they maintained their hierarchy. That's why when Daniel was praying down in the city and the angel of God came down to get to Daniel, but that demon over that prince over that city maintained his hierarchy above the angel that did not fall. And he couldn't even break through down to where Daniel was because the demon of that city maintained his hierarchy. And he had more authority than that angel which had not fallen. So God had to pull rank on him. Glory! God had to pull rank on him and send an angel down there that had greater. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't you understand? It's no wonder the devil thought, nobody can outdo me. Because he looked at himself and said, I'm God's right hand man. But he couldn't look in God's heart and see that God had a mystery. Glory. God had a secret in his heart. That was where Christ was. Satan looked at himself and thought, I'm the greatest one. But he didn't know God had a secret in his heart. Let me finish this quote, if you would. Then God, back before the foundation of the world was ever laid. Now notice when this fall took place, there wasn't even a universe, stratosphere, hemisphere, no earth, no planets. There was nothing in existence beneath the heavens, the heaven. Way back before the foundation of the world was ever laid, when he seen what Satan has done in his pride, he went over in the north and set up a kingdom. Can you imagine God allowing him to do such a thing? In the north side of heaven. And God actually allowed him to go to the north. And move over into that realm. And set up a kingdom. Do you understand? The foundation of the kingdom of the north is pride. Can't you see why God hates it in us as his children? Can't you see why he could not let Paul be dominated by pride? Something that would ruin his ministry. Could absolutely ruin it. But God would not allow it. Imagine some of the saints of God that told Paul, oh, Brother Paul, one day, brother, it'll all be over. We'll be in heaven. Paul could say, I've been to heaven. That's why I've got this. But you know what he called it? A gift. He said, God, give me a thorn in the flesh. Paul actually looked at this as a gift. Something give to one for their benefit. Brother, sister, we need a revelation. Now remember, this is not sin. Well, I can't keep my eyes off of pornography and I have to drink a little bit. And that's probably my thorn in the flesh. Oh no, that has nothing to do with that. This is not a sin. This is something that he's battling. It's not from his nature, not from his desire. But he was able to come to a spot to say, thank God for this gift. Ah! Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Ah! I wonder how many Happy Valley folks can do that. Including the pastor. Praise the Lord. In his pride, he went over in the north and set up a kingdom and fought against Michael and his angels. So you see what he does? Now he gets lifted up in his pride, and then he wants to cause a church split. Then when he causes that church split, first church split was in heaven. Among angels. They never sinned, they never lied, and they heard this preacher and the devil, man, he must have been a preacher. Whoa, he must have been a preacher. He preached to them. He preached to them. And they were so convinced that they left God. So Michael's going over, and they break out in a war, and a war, and a war. But Michael did not destroy that kingdom. For it must be that Michael that projects from the mystery of God's heart. Michael could not destroy it. It must be Christ. So he will come down himself, and he will be born in a human body and feel the same thing. He himself will be actually tempted by pride to be a show off and a smart aleck. So he can understand how to help us. Praise God. You love him with all your heart. How many wants God to help you? Not just tonight, but the rest of your life. Friends, I trust and hope that the last Wednesday night we dealt with this, and tonight that it will open our understanding to help us to see. When any type of insolent, braggart pride projects from our flesh, that the Holy Spirit within us makes us sensitive to that. See, Brother Branham's in the pulpit preaching one time and talking about a man that come to him, and he's just going about divine healing, said this, that, and the other. He said, I could have took the word, and in a few minutes I could have tied him in knots. And then he comes and says, that wasn't right. The Lord could have revealed something in such a way to where that man could have been helped. Do you understand what that was? Here's Brother Branham preaching, and pride spoke out. And it's on your tape. Glory. God help me. Lord Jesus, I can only speak for myself. I'm so sorry, Lord. I would be afraid to even ask how many times, even in preaching, have I expressed human vain pride. I'm so sorry. Forgive me. Lord, help us. That we're able to separate ourselves from the raptured one. I've never been caught up to see what Paul saw. But yet, Lord, a part of me gets raptured over and over and over again. As Brother Bam said, we leave this building today in rapture, caught up in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. But help us that we don't become proud, insolent, empty braggarts. Oh God, that, well, I'll tell you one thing, I'll do this and I do. Help us, God. Help us, Lord. Peter made his great, bold statements. Though all forsake you, Lord, I'll tell you one thing, I'll do this, that, the other. He wouldn't even believe you when you told him, you'll deny me three times. He was so sold on his own pride, he wouldn't even take your word for it. It shows us how destructive the pride can be. That we'll believe that foolish pride over the word. Help us, Lord. Lord, I must say, it becomes discouraging, Lord, to me as a mortal. Not that I want to quit serving you. Lord, I think of how many mistakes I've made in preaching and how many things I've said wrong. Lord, I just think, God, ain't no use to even try to preach. Because it's just that old human element that's there. There's never been a perfect sermon preached by any other man other than you. But Lord, help us. Make us sensitive to when that pride would speak out.
But the Spirit of God within us can catch it. We want to give praise and testimony and honor and glory for the things you've done in our lives. But help us to be sensitive when we're testifying and sharing what you've done, that it don't move over in the flesh, and then we become to boasting in our flesh. We love you, Lord. We thank you for revelations, and we want more. And we understand by praying for that, we understand what we're asking for. But so be it. For we need revelation to get us out of this world. I don't know how many things that I have to deal with and I have to go through because of being a Christian and being a preacher and all that sort of thing. And it's a delicate balance because we don't want to just accept anything and everything that comes our way and think, well, maybe that's God. Maybe it's God. No, Paul didn't do that. But Paul said, I sought the Lord 3 times because he wanted to be delivered. And then finally you came with his answer. Our grace is sufficient. So we don't accept every sickness, every disease, every trial, everything that comes our way and just lay down and say, well, maybe that's God. But give us wisdom to know how to pray. And then, Lord, if you do not deliver that thing from us, may your grace be sufficient for us. We love you tonight, Father. Forgive us of our pride. Forgive us of our empty braggart talk, priding in our flesh. Forgive us, Lord Jesus. May we see how devastating and destructive this pride can be. That it will make you turn around from our heart's door and walk right out of that heart. Because you cannot stand it in that heart. Help us, Lord Jesus. We love you tonight, Father. Forgive us, Lord. Oh, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Can we just raise our hands and let him wash us? Maybe there wasn't nobody here tonight guilty but me, but I just like a little washing before I go. If y'all wasn't guilty, then you just pray for me that God will help me. Because I sure want to be like him. I sure want to lay aside Donnie Reagan and be able to separate Donnie from the real one. And glory in that which is supernatural. Oh, hallelujah. I've been able to acknowledge I have to have this weakness and that one and that one. I have to be talked about, crucified. I've got to be this and that and the other in order to help keep me where I need to be so he can use me. Hallelujah. How do you know that man on the job that aggravates the far out of you? How do you know that you don't need that to keep you where you need to be? How do you know there's certain things that you go through in your life that God don't allow it because he knows you need it? You'd get so elevated. You'd get so exalted. But God ain't going to let that happen to you. Your exaltation will be by rapturing power, not by the flesh. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Hey, saying, Jesus, use me. So, if I understand this right, look at me. God raptures this man's soul up into heaven. He's there for moments, hours, who knows how long, into the third heaven. Hears things, sees things, is totally overwhelmed, comes back to a state of consciousness. His memory is able to grab a hold of what he's seen and heard. Prior to this, he met the Lord Jesus on the road to Damascus. And the Lord Jesus allowed the luminosity of the pillar of fire to be just bright enough so it would cause permanent eye damage. When he sends his servant down there and he lays his hands on him and the scales fall from his eyes and he's baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, he thinks, glory to God, I'm healed. Hallelujah, I'm healed. But little did he know that great event in his life would be the very point that Satan would be allowed to pierce him. And the word thorn is only used this one place in the New Testament. And it is that the meaning is to impale upon a stake. So Satan is allowed to come and attack him where the pillar of fire met him.
So his eyes would get better. And then they'd start running again. And matter over maybe like it. And he'd have to try to write and wipe his eyes and say, Jesus, please take this from me. Please. I can't see to write your word. Can't you see his thorn?
It was dealing with the very thing he was called to do. Sisters, what if yours is being part of a housewife? Part of your duties you love. Maybe part of them you hate. But to be a complete housewife, you have to be able to do them you hate as well as those you love. Your brother's being a husband. Part of your responsibility you love. Part of it you hate. In order to be a complete husband and father, you have to do those two. And that thorn hits you there. There's parts of my job being a preacher I love. And there's parts of it I hate. I hate. But I have to do it all. And do it all to act like I like it all.
So he prays and he prays. God, please. Lord, I need an answer. I need an answer. And God gives him an answer. Chemotherapy. God, I want healing. I want a miracle. Radiation. He wanted healing. And God gave him grace. Grace for what? To go through the suffering. To help keep him down. To help keep him humble. So God could continue to use him. So this vision would not ruin him. Let's sing it together. Lord Jesus.
Jesus, use me.
Hallelujah.
And oh Lord, don't refuse.
Think about what you're saying. Use me. Continue to use me.
That I can do.
Hallelujah.
Lord, help my will to crumble. Oh, the cost will be great, our burden for you.
Sing it again now. Oh, Lord Jesus, use me. And oh, a little something. It don't have to be big, important, Lord.
And even though small and humble, Lord, help my will to trouble. Oh, the cost be great, our word.
He's the lily of the valley.
He's a lily of the valley, the bride and morning star. His prayer is stopped in thousands to my soul. He's a beautiful rose of Sharon.
Oh God, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, you love him, friends. Now I want you to think, I'm going to let you go. How many times have we sat here in this place and you've received some of the greatest revelations of your life? And after that service, or the next day, or at the restaurant, that night or that afternoon, something happened, or something was said to you, or something tore you to pieces, and seemed like it tore the very foundation out of everything you got in service. You think those things just happen by chance? Wonder if these things aren't sent in our life to counterbalance us. But if it was not there, do you understand what we are hearing, the preaching of the word, is actually going to change our bodies? Amen. Please don't misunderstand when I say it this way. If it was not for the counterbalancing of life by the revelations of the word that have been given in this last day, we would have done been gone. The power of God that not only here at this place, but around the world that's being ministered to this bride or out of the revealed word of this hour, the power of God is among us in such a way that it's here to change us. And what keeps it from it? The counterbalancing of all those things. Oh my. Praise God. Thank God for the gift of thorns. I understand if you're not there yet that you can't say, thank the Lord, I've been studying this for quite some time, and maybe I'm a little bit, you know, maybe I'm a little bit preconditioned before you all. But I want you to be able to say, thank God for thorns. I ain't talking about self-inflicted stuff. I ain't talking about stuff you caused. I'm talking about things that God allows to happen to us for our good to counterbalance our lives. To me, I see the loving heart of our shepherd. That he pulls his little sheepies up close to him. And he gives them these great gifts of life. And before he lets them go, he pulls them right up next to his heart. And he takes that thorn. And he rams that thorn in their little foot. And they cry and cry. And then he sets them down. Let's them go. Sheep that don't understand will get an attitude. They'll be bitter, harsh, judgmental. But real sheep that come to that truth, they can say like Paul, then I will glory in my infirmities. I will thank God for it because I need it. God bless you, saints. All of those of you that cannot walk out to the car, we'll be glad to assist you. After the service, if you're so crippled and you're all broke up, just keep your seat and the deacons will help you out one at a time. We'll pack you to the ER if necessary to administer first aid so you'll be able to get to the house. And Lord willing, we'll be having service again this weekend. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Go in the fear of God. And let's close the service off by saying it this way. And the church said, amen. Amen.